convinced this message is going to be relevant to every single one of us in this place today. And I'm convinced that some of us may not be really keeping a good balance, biblically speaking, of the time that God has allotted you and me. Well, speaking of time and keeping time, I heard about a man that went to the doctor. And the doctor said to him, "Sir, you got 30 days to live. You're going to die in 30 days. If you don't reduce all the stress in your life, you can't have any stress in your life, no pressure, no problems, no children, no, you know, you've got to just take it easy." And he said, the man was told by the doctor, "Your wife is to cook you 3 nutritious meals every day. You're to get in the bathtub. She's to comb your hair when you get out. You are to do this, or else you're going to die." The man said, "Well, doc, will you please tell my wife this?" And the doctor said, "Yep, send her in." So the man went out in the waiting room. His wife went in the room. The doctor told her the same thing. "Your husband's going to die in 30 days. If you don't cook him 3 meals a day, gourmet meals, and if he doesn't reduce all the stress in his life, no pressure at all, and take a bath, you got to comb his hair every night, and this is the way it's going to be. He's going to die in 30 days. She walked out of the room, and the husband said to the wife, "What did the doctor say?" And she said, "You poor soul, you're going to die in 30 days. You're going to die in 30 days. I don't know about that, but I know this. We've got to manage our time, or else somebody else will manage our time for us. And we're going to look in the scripture and see a passage that stood out to me, at least. But let me ask you this. How do you spend your time? It's good to have Marie Lewis with us this morning. How do you spend your time? Do you spend majority of the time watching television? Do you spend a lot of your time at computer and Facebook and Twitter and all the, you know, technological things that are media that's going on today? How do you spend your time? I don't know how you spend your time, but I know this. The Word of God teaches us that we are to be good stewards of not only the financial resources God has given us, but also the time that God's given us. Hey, look. I don't know how much more time I've got. You don't know how much more time you've got. How many want to make a difference while you got time? Let me see your hand. Making the most of your time. And there are 5 biblical-based balances, I think we're going to see in the scripture here, of how to make the most of your time, being good stewards of it. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 89. Here was the text that God led me to today, Psalm chapter 89. As we look in Psalm 89, there are some 5 ways God put on my heart to share with you how to keep the balance, how to manage and make the most of your time in Psalm chapter 89. If you would, before you stand to your feet, or if you want to stand, let me just summarize. This chapter is a wonderful chapter written by a man. If you'll notice in the beginning, maskil is a term that means to give instructions. If you're one of those that see that at the upper part of this beginning of this psalm. And then you'll notice the man's name who is attributed to writing this psalm is Ethan, the Ezrahite. Ethan. Now, there's speculation as to did he really write all of this psalm, or did maybe someone else at a later time add to this? Some believe Daniel, maybe the exile, probably read it and added to it. Others think, no, this was the Ethan that David appointed as the Levitical singer. Regardless of who wrote it, we know it's inspired of God. And the theme is God's faithfulness. And that word faithfulness, we'll see in a moment, has to do with being secure in Him. I want to ask you a question. Are you secure in God today? Are you troubled? Are you worried? Do you have things on your mind today? Do you have really peace with God and the peace of God? I talked with a man just this week and asked him the same question. I said, have you made peace with God? Do you have the peace of God that passes understanding? I want to begin reading in verse 1. If you'd like to stand as we read this text, I just want to read a few verses at the beginning and then primarily summarize and come to the end of the chapter, because one verse stood out above others, and it's found in verse 47. But wait a minute. Before we read that, I want to read verse 1. And in the context of Psalm 89, it's very obvious that the psalmist and who wrote this was concerned about the covenant God made with his servant David. Now, I know you've heard about that, but here's what's significant about that is the fact that, wait a minute, if God is true to keep his promises, his covenant with not only Abraham, but with David and the Jewish people, how many believe that he's true to keep his promises to me and you as his church? Isn't that good news? I'm glad to know that God, he is faithful to keep his promises, not only as he promised here to the descendants of David, but further as he promises to be with us every step of the way. We begin in verse 1 of Psalm 89. If you're there, would you say amen? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I like that. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. By the way, the word faithfulness is used 10 times in this text. I believe it's 4 times the word covenant is mentioned in this text. And then notice verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Now, you know the word Selah means, in essence, what do you think about that? It's a pause. What do you think about that? Selah. In other words, God's saying, I made a covenant with my servant David. I'm going to keep that covenant regardless. In fact, we can see, skipping on down in the text, verse 20. I have found David. Verse 20. My servant with my holy oil have I anointed him. And then there's a insight in verse 26, 27, 28 in regards to the messianic promises, namely Jesus coming again. And here's a reference to the descendants of David being our Lord Jesus. And then we know that verses 29, 30, 31, 32 does not have to do with the Lord Jesus, because he would not obviously break his covenant. But God is saying this to his people: my covenant is unconditional, regardless of what you do. Sure, there'll be consequences of your disobedience, but my covenant is an everlasting covenant with my people. That's what he's saying in verses 29. I'm summarizing. Notice verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Verse 36. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Verse 37. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. What do you think about that, Selah? What do you think about that? God says, I'm going to do it, and praise God, it's going to be done. Now I want you to skip down to verse 47. Here's what caught my attention. Remember how short my time is. And in the conclusion of chapter 89, there are really two parts to this. First of all is the psalmist saying, Lord, praying, and it's a prayer, my time is short. But then finally has the great promise at the conclusion of the chapter, verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forever and evermore. Amen and amen. And then again, verse 47, go back up to it, underline it. Remember how short my time is. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Father, thank you. Your word is so marvelous. It's so precious, Lord. And I thank you that you have spoken in your word. You have spoken through your word. And your word is so needful, Lord, in my life and our lives. And we're hungry today and thirsty for heaven's manna and for bread from heaven and water to quench our thirsty soul. We praise you, Jesus. It's all about you, that you lived, you died, you rose, you're coming again. And your promises are yea, and in you they're amen and amen. Our God, I thank you we can count on you. I thank you, God, we can depend on you. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to all of your promises. And Lord, we ask today for you to challenge us, Lord, examine us, Lord, stretch us, Lord, and give us great grace to see ourselves as you see us. And then, Lord, lead us to make the changes, empower us to make make the changes that are necessary in our life to maximize our life for your glory, for your honor. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will be high lifted up today. And we thank you now for every person that's here, every daddy, every mama, every young person, every son, every daughter, every grandparent. God, just mold us and make us all that you want us to be in these days. We bless you for the privilege of serving you. I want to thank you personally for changing my heart, saving my soul, washing me clean, giving me a home in heaven. And I want to tell you today, I love you, worship you, and praise you because of who you are. You are worthy to be praised. Now, Lord, move on our hearts today and be glorified with all the said and done. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. There are five biblical balances. Hey, look at me, wives and mamas. Y'all look up here a minute, mamas. Look up here a minute, mamas. Look up here a minute, mamas. How many of you know you got to balance the load, don't you? You got a lot to do. How many daddies? Daddies, look up here. How many daddies know you got work to do? You got a job to do. You got a family to tend to. You got spiritual responsibilities to take notice of. How do we keep the balance? How do we maintain making the most of our time? No wonder Paul said, redeem the time. The days are evil. No wonder the psalmist said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Y'all know that clock is wrong. Somebody say amen up there on the screen. So don't pay attention to it. I'm not paying attention to it. But anyway, hey, look, we need to make the most of our time. And five areas, five ways we can keep the biblical balance. And watch this. I'm going to share with you something that I believe God gave to me. Not inspired as a word, but nevertheless, the Lord impressed upon my heart. Daily disciplines for devoted disciples. Write that down. Daily disciplines for devoted disciples. How many know that to be a child of God, God requires and enables us to be disciplined? You show me a Christian that's not disciplined, I'll show you a carnal, worldly Christian. You show me a Christian that's disciplined, that's come under the lordship of Jesus Christ and has learned to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. A devoted disciple has to have daily disciplines in his or her life. And I've got a feeling today, some of us may be slipping a little bit in those areas, and that's why I feel impressed to the Lord to share this message, a practical application to this particular subject, making the most of your time. Watch this. Time. Use it or lose it. Say it with me. Time. Use it or lose it. One more time. Time. Use it or lose it. Are you going to make the most of your time? Are you going to be one of those daily disciplined, devoted disciples and really make a difference while there's time? Five ways you can balance your time. Number one, when are you going to spend your Jesus time? When are you going to spend your Jesus time? In Psalm chapter 8 and 9, David had a relationship with Jesus. That is the living God of heaven. Everybody knows that. That's the reason. Oh, yes, he was a king and had a lot of responsibilities, the greatest leader that Israel has ever had. In fact, the Word of God says he led Israel with the skill of his hand and the integrity of his heart. Tell me, how do you use your time? Do you make the most of your time? Number one, when is your Jesus time? Number two, now I'm gonna go ahead and preach it and share it, but let me explain it after I share it. Do you make time, church time? What about not only when is your Jesus time, but what about your church time? What about your church time? Making the most of your time. Hey, folks, priorities are very important in the Christian life. And in fact, they're important for everybody here today. What are your priorities? How do you spend your time? If you have any free time, what are you doing with your free time? Oh, yeah, there's a third way that I think we can be devoted disciples, daily discipline, and making the most of our time. Time, use it or lose it. Somebody else is going to use your time if you don't use it. Somebody else is going to use your time if you don't use it. You've got to manage that time as God has allotted you and me a certain amount of time, 168 hours every week, 86,400 seconds every day. And I'm not being extreme on this because there's two extremes. But wait a minute, number three. Not only when is your Jesus time, and I'm going to camp there for a little while. Number two, what about your church time? And then number three, do you spend family time? Do you spend family time? Well, David was a family man, we know that. He had Solomon as a son. In fact, he delegated that authority to Solomon to lead as king after he became king and then eventually went to be with the Lord. Number four, what about your work time? Okay, not only your Jesus time and your church time and your family time, but what about your work time? Yeah, we got some working men and women here in the house of God today. Well, are you keeping the balance? Are you keeping the balance, putting the Lord first in your life? And then finally, number five, how many believe that it's getting close to the end of time? You can look at France and ask them over there if they believe it's the end of time. And I believe all of us say, yeah, I don't know when that time is, but certainly we're living in the end of time. I could add to that two more thoughts. I could add, but I'm not going to today. Salvation time and other times that we could add to that. But anyway, number one, when is your Jesus time? When is your Jesus time? And those of you that were coming in here late, I use chapter 89, verse 47 as the text as we elaborated and expounded on chapter 89, God's covenant with David and his people, and thus that gives us a great promise. He's going to keep his promises with us as well. In verse 47, he says, remember how short my time is. Time, use it or lose it. Time management. Number one, when is your time with Jesus? I want to share with you two parts to what this heading is. Number one, either you can be and I can be, and I'm asking this question, are you in his will or are you in his way? Are you in his will or are you in his way? How many believe you can get in God's way? We can get in God's way instead of being in his will. And then number two, are you wanting to be a carnal Christian or are you wanting to be a spirit-filled Christian? It's according to how you spend your time, which is going to determine whether you're a carnal Christian or a spirit-filled Christian. Number one, the question is asked, do you want to be in God's will or do you want to be in God's way? I'm convinced a lot of Christians are in God's way. There have been times when I've been in God's way. Maybe today you are in God's way and you don't even realize it. When are you going to spend your Jesus time? The psalmist said, for example, in Psalm 91:1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Time, use it or lose it. The psalmist David said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Time. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Let's say that together. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. One more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles, running not grow weary, walking not faint. You see, waiting upon Jesus and spending time with Jesus makes a difference in your life. Hey, I know you're busy. I know you're busy. I know I'm busy. I mean, I've got a certain amount of time every week. When I get home tonight, I begin to plan all week long. I've got a certain amount of time of preaching, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 messages every week. I've got a certain amount of time visiting the hospital. I've got a certain amount of time in ministration. I've got a certain amount of time in meetings. I've got a certain amount of time every week. And you and I are having to manage that time by the grace of God. So I know what it is to be busy, but wait a minute. We can get in God's way instead of his will. If we get, watch this, I'm fixing to say something that's well worth writing down. Not because I said it, but because it is certainly true. Busyness without brokenness leads to barrenness. Busyness without brokenness leads to barrenness. I want you to go with me to a home. Whose home? Eminem. Who's Eminem? Martha and Mary. Go with me to the home of Martha and Mary. Remember Martha and Mary? Friends of Jesus. Why? Jesus loved to be in that home. He loved to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Bethany. How many know you got, how many have got a friend or some home you like to visit, and when you get there, you just feel refreshed when you leave? Anybody? I love to be in certain homes. I'm just refreshed when I leave. I just love to be around certain people, and they just encourage me. And that's the way it was with Jesus, with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But one day, Martha was just a cumbered about Martha. This is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. One day, Martha's so busy. Watch this. She's so busy that she loses her peace. She's not doing a bad thing. Busy, 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 busy. Nothing wrong with busyness. It's good to be busy, but without brokenness leads to barrenness. We can get in God's way instead of God's will. And Martha's so busy, she's so busy, she's forgot the main thing. The main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. There's Mary, and Mary, watch Martha. She's got a troubled spirit. She's busy trying to get everything ready in the meal. You've been there, haven't you? I've been there, haven't you? Yeah, busy, 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 busy. And without spending time with the Lord. And the next thing you know, busyness without brokenness leads to barrenness. And the next thing you know what you and I will start doing when we get so busy without spending time with Jesus? You know what we'll do? We'll complain. That's right. You'll start complaining and start fussing and start whining. That's exactly right. That's exactly what Martha did. I'm talking to some Christians this morning. I'm talking to some Christians that teach Sunday school. I'm talking to some Christians that work in Awanas. I'm talking to Christians who are serving the Lord. And the next thing you know, when you get so busy wrapped up in the Lord's work and you look around and so-and-so's not doing anything and so-and-so's not doing anything, what's the first thing we want to think? Well, why aren't they serving God? I know y'all don't want to say amen, but buddy, that hit the mark. I know it did. Because I get that way, you get that way, we all get that way on your job. Do you look around, see somebody not doing something? What's the first thing you do? Well, why aren't they doing something? They need to get in here and help. Wait a minute. Martha's saying, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, tell Mary to get up, help me. Jesus said, Martha, you're cumbered about much. You're worried about much. The word cumbered means trouble. And I want you to know, beloved, and I say this because I love you, but if I don't spend time with the Lord every day, I'm not much good for anything. I'm not much good for anything. Matter of fact, I'll get in His way instead of His will. Somebody say amen. I hadn't arrived. I got to spend time and get connected. I need to be plugged in every day. When is your Jesus time? Somebody says, well, bless God, my time is from the time I leave my house to go here or go there. Well, that's good time. But is that the best quality time you can give the Lord? Huh? Yeah, I know it's hard to focus. I love to spend time driving too. And I love to spend time when I'm busy too. And we can worship the Lord all day long in our business. But sometimes that undivided attention when you block out the world and you draw near to God and you don't have to focus on anything else but Him. I'll tell you, that's quality time. Jesus said to Martha, Mary had chosen a good thing. It shall not be taken away from her. How many want to be in God's will? Let me see your hand. You don't be in God's way. We get a complaining spirit and a griping spirit and a whining spirit about, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. And boy, I know I hadn't been with the Lord. And some of us today, we've been in God's will. But some of us today, we are in God's way. And truthfully, the truth be known, we got to get back connected to the Lord. And so, number two question under this first heading, when is your Jesus time? Do you want to be a carnal Christian? Or do you want to be a Spirit-filled Christian? You want to be a carnal Christian or a Spirit-filled Christian? The church is full of carnal Christians. You know how I know that? I'm not just talking about New Rocky Creek. I'm talking about churches anywhere. People are so carnal, that is fleshly. They don't think the mind of Christ. They don't care about others' interests. It's all about me. What about me? And if you cross me, I will cut you. I will stab you. It's a dog-eat-dog mentality in the church today. Why? Because of carnality, because of fleshliness, because of worldliness, because we're not staying attached to the vine. And if you don't think you're carnal, you just let somebody cross you and see what you do. The spirituality will fly right out of you if you're not attached to the Lord. You just let somebody say something bad to you. You just let somebody do something that you don't like, and you'll see that old ugly flesh rising up inside of you. Somebody say amen. I'm not just preaching myself today. I'm preaching all of us. And we recognize just when we think we've arrived, just when we think we're spiritual, that God will show us how carnal we really are. Paul said to the church of Corinth, I want to give you some meat. I want to give you some steak to chew on. I'm using that figuratively. He was saying, I wanted to give you some spiritual substance, but you're not ready for it. You're still drinking the bottle. You're still in the baby nursery. You hadn't grown up yet. You still got to wear diapers. That's what Paul said in the church of Corinth. If you don't believe me, read chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. No wonder Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, in the context of false teachers and in the context of Jesus coming again, chapter 3, he said, grow. Chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Peter, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question, are you growing in the Lord? Do you just come to church and sit and soak and sour? Are you appropriating the truths that God is saying to you today? Are you going to make some changes in your life today? Are you going to leave and just say, well, that was a good message and I'm glad I went to church today? Or are you going to say, Lord, there's some time in my life. There's some things that I've been doing that maybe have been all right, but they've not been the best. God wants what's best for us. Oh, yes, he does. He wants making the most of your time. You know, it's easy to walk in the flesh and be led of the flesh. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 following, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another. You may not do the things that you please. I'm going to talk with you in a little while on something else, but wait a minute, I've got to move on. You know how you can tell? You know the best way I know of how to walk in the Spirit rather than walk in the flesh? And folks, I hadn't arrived. I'm still right where you're at. And that's why I'm preaching myself like I'm preaching to you today. You know the best way I know? It's like the Indian chief said, there's like two dogs fighting in me all the time. How many have ever seen a dog fight? Oh, you've seen a dog fight? And the chief says, they're fighting all the time. Well, who wins the fight? And the Indian chief says, well, it just depends on who I feed. If I feed the black dog and starve the black dog will win every time. But if I feed the brown dog and starve the brown dog will feed every time. He'll win every time. What is he saying? He's saying this. If you and I feed our flesh all week long and don't feed our spirit and come to church, do you think you're going to get a whole lot out of the worship service? You think you're going to come and worship God in spirit and truth when you've been feeding your flesh all week? Wrong. It's important for you and me before we get to the house of God to try to get in tune and touch with God. You say, but Pastor, isn't this what church is all about? That I ought to come to church and all of a sudden click some switch? God can do that, but often it's not going to happen. If you've been living a flesh life, you're going to continue to feed the flesh instead of feed the spirit. And that's what's happening today with us. You see, how much time do you spend watching television these days? How about the computer? What are you doing with your free time? It's my time. I'll do what I want to do in my time. Really? God's given you that time. Don't forget it. And you and I are supposed to be good stewards of God's time that he gives us. Somebody say amen. We think it's my time. Wait a minute. God's given you that time. You don't believe that? Oh, yes, he's given us that time, and therefore we are to be good stewards. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about keeping a biblical balance, being daily disciplines for the devoted disciples. So when's your Jesus time? How many today need to say, you know what, Lord? I hadn't really been spending a good Jesus time. Every day. Staying attached to the vine every day. Well, I'm busy. I got to leave the house at 5. I got to leave the house at 6. Make time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever time you got, make it. And then don't just leave at that time. Stay connected all day long. When is your Jesus time? Maybe some of you used to spend some Jesus time, but you haven't been spending any Jesus time lately. Why? I've gotten busy. I'm not being critical here. It's easy in this old world. Watch this. How many know that the world is pulling on us all the time? Things are pulling on us all the time. Something to do here, something to do here, emails, text messages, telephone calls, yard work, housework, shopping. Man, it takes a lot to run a home these days. Somebody say amen. But wait a minute, priorities. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Do you have some good Jesus time? How many today would say, Lord, I need to rebuild those broken down walls. I hadn't really been spending quality time with you, and no wonder I've been frustrated. No wonder I've been anxious. No wonder I've been critical and judgmental. Lord, sweeten my heart today. Forgive me of my sins. Number two, not only when is your Jesus time, what about your church time? Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Psalm 122 verse 1, David said, I was glad, not mad, not sad, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. How about your church time? I want to say something. Now listen to me. Y'all listen to me real carefully, please. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Here's what you're thinking. Pastor, I don't want to be legalistic about this, nor do I. But wait a minute, I want to say something. I'm not talking about legalism when I talk about coming to church. I'm talking about love for Jesus. If you really love the Lord, He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, I didn't say it, He did. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do? Well, is this legalistic? Oh, bless God, or God's going to kill me if I don't go to church? No, God's not going to kill you, more than likely. But God has appointed a time when we're to set aside every week, the first day of the week, namely Sunday. Why? It commemorates, it celebrates the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, what about your church time? Writer to Hebrews said in chapter 10, verse 25, and you know the theme of Hebrews is don't go back to Judaism, press on to maturity. There was a crowd there that was trying to please God doing this and that, and the theme is Jesus is superior to all of that, and thus go further with the Lord. Chapter 5, strong meat belongs to them at a full age. He comes to chapter 10, verse 25, in the context of the superiority of Jesus, and chapter 11, the great hall of faith of heroes. Chapter 12, looking to Jesus, running the race. But chapter 10, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some. Why did God say that? Because, wait a minute, God knows. Wait a minute, as a Christian, I need it and you need it. Somebody say amen. It's not legalism, folks. It's love for the Lord. And if you really love the Lord, it's a love relationship with Jesus. And let me explain it this way. When I first met my wife, Deanna, back some time ago, a number of years ago, 1979 actually, I tell you what. Man, boy, I want to be with her all the time. How many know what I'm talking about? I couldn't hardly wait to go. She lived 12 miles from where we live. 12 miles where I live. Hainesville, Georgia, Perry, Georgia. Do you think that stopped me from going to see her? Wrong. Nope. Hey, it cost me gasoline. I had a GTO, gas, tires, and oil. How many know what I'm talking about? I didn't care. Wait a minute, I took her, it bothered me to take her out to eat? I spent some money every time I went out there with gasoline. I'd take her out to eat. I was glad to take her out to eat. Praise God. I mean, I wanted to spend some time. I was in love. How many know what I'm talking about? I was in love. And money didn't mean that much to me, and time didn't mean that much to me. Whatever it took, I'd do. Why? Because I loved her, and I wanted to spend time with her. If you love Jesus, you're going to want to spend time with Him. You say, well, preacher, I don't have to be at church to spend time with God. No, I agree that. But wait a minute, you don't have to be a Christian. Somebody said, well, I don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. No, you don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian, but if you are a Christian, you're going to want to go to church. That's the bottom line. And what Jesus loves, we ought to love. You just get people that tell me that, I just look at them and say, you know, you don't know the Bible. All you got to do is open up the Bible and see that Ephesians 5:25, the husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. No perfect church, no. I'm talking about love, not legalism. Not legalism, but love. Galatians, a book called Legalism, trying to earn merit with God, favor with God. No, worshiping God in spirit and truth. I'm not finished with what I was telling you about my wife, Deanna. You know what? I'd go out there, and guess what I discovered? When I met Deanna, she said, here is my daddy, and here is my mama. And here are my sisters, and here is my brother. Guess what? It all came with the package. It all came as a package deal. You understand? Somebody said it's kind of like a record. Y'all remember them old records, 78? Them old records used to, you got it for one side and the other side just comes with it, all right? Somebody said that's the way it is in marriage. You get one side and the other side comes with it. I'm just kidding. But wait a minute. Did you hear about the husband and wife? They were riding down the road and they had been in a fuss and a fight and arguing, and the husband was sitting on this side, the wife sitting on this side, and they hadn't spoken for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. All of a sudden they ride by a farm. There's mules out there in the farmyard. There's hogs out in the barnyard, mules and hogs. They ride by the farm, and the wife snaps at her husband and said, "Look, are those relatives of yours?" And he said, "Yeah, kinfolks." I know that wasn't the right thing to say. World War III. But wait, I'm going somewhere with what I'm telling you. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere. I had to, wait a minute. Deanna meant mom and daddy. Deanna meant sisters and brother. And I had to sit at the, I got to sit at the table. And I enjoyed time with the whole family. I'm going somewhere. When you get Jesus, you get the whole family. Y'all didn't hear me. You see, the family of God comes with Jesus. You didn't hear me. No, you missed it. God showed me that yesterday. When you get in love and you got a love relationship, the family comes with it, and the family of God comes with a relationship with Jesus. You get Jesus and you get the body of Christ along with it. If you love the Lord, you're going to love the body of Christ. That's right. Oh, there's no perfect body. I don't know of a perfect body. I don't know of a perfect church. No, but Jesus is the head and we are the body. And thus we are joined to Him. By the way, when I come to church, you know what I like to do? I like to come to church. Do you like to come to church? It's not boring to me. I love it. You know why? I love to praise the Lord. You know why else? I love to hear and be around Christian people. Do you like that? I do. I love to be around. Hey, look, I love to encourage one another. I love to pray. I need prayer. Does anybody here need prayer? Does anybody here need encouragement? When we come to church on Sunday, we encourage each other. We pray for each other. Wait a minute. We bear each other's burdens. That's what the body of Christ is all about. We challenge each other. That's why I enjoy being around the body of Christ, the church, the redeemed. Jesus is coming back for His church, and we ought to be encouraged. Each other. We ought to be praying for each other. We ought to be challenging each other. We ought to be loving each other. We ought to be forgiving each other. Why? Because of our love relationship with Jesus. Oh yeah. What about your church time? Not legalism, but lordship, love, liberty, freedom in Him. It comes with the whole package. You get wrong with your brother and sister, I want you to know you're going to be wrong with Jesus. You got to get things right with each other. We got to get things right with each other, or we won't be right with God. I'm telling you, I know. I've been there, done that, and I'm right there now. If I'm not careful, you got to pray through that thing. You got to love anyway. You got to learn to forgive. And it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. Somebody say amen. Y'all aren't wanting to shout this morning. I am, though, praise the Lord. Hey, do you want to be carnal? Do you want to be a self-made man or a self-centered? Watch this. When Jesus is on the cross, self is on the throne. But when self is on the cross, Jesus is on the throne. And brothers and sisters, that makes a difference. I want to hasten to say number three. There's a third way, time, use it or lose it, making the most of your time, devoted disciples, daily disciplines, keeping the balance, biblical balance of your time. And the Word of God says, redeem the time, the days are evil. And that's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. See then did you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, telling them their wealth in Jesus, their walk in Jesus, and then finally, their warfare in Jesus. But wait a minute, number three. What about your family time? What about your family time? Family time's important. And I want to hasten to tell you about this. Not only about your church time and your Jesus time, but wait a minute, priorities. Don't neglect your family. And here's a couple of thoughts the Lord impressed upon my heart to share with you. Number one, do you have grace-based acceptance in your home? Or do you have performance-based acceptance? Grace-based acceptance or performance-based acceptance? Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Is it grace-based acceptance or performance-based acceptance? That is, those in our family, do we accept them? Do we love them based on how they perform? As long as they do everything right that we want them to do? Or, like God accepts us, do we accept them based on grace instead of performance-based acceptance? What about your family time? Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up in about a week. And you and I are going to get a chance to spend some time with our family, aren't we? Are you going to make a difference? How much more time do you got? I don't know. Time, use it or lose it. Have you got a plan? Has God put something in your heart to share with your family? It could be your or my last Thanksgiving with your family. You believe that? It might be the very last Thanksgiving. What would you like to tell your family? What would you like to tell your loved ones if it's your last one? Hey, folks. We're not promised of tomorrow. Lois told me that just about every day. It was with her last week in the hospital when she passed away. Life is but a vapor. Here, a little while, and vanished away. What is your life? It's but a vapor. Your family time. Grace-based acceptance or performance-based acceptance. I got a feeling today, some of us need to pray and say, you know, God, I've been mad. I've been angry. Things haven't been going my way. This person is not treating me like I think they ought to be treated. I feel rejected. Whatever you're going through today, you know what it is. And you just need to deal with it and get it right. Because your other relationships will be affected by that relationship. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the family right now. Hey, you want to know how God's biblical role for the family is? Read Ephesians 5. Read Ephesians 6. You'll find it right there. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That word love is agape. Wives, reverence or respect your husbands. That's Ephesians chapter 5, 31, 32, and 33. By the way, you know a man wants to be loved and a man wants to be respected and a woman wants to be loved. The biblical role of the family, read Ephesians 5. And furthermore, you know the biblical role of a father and a parent and a child? Read chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, hey, see if you agree with me. Time, use it or lose it. See if you agree with me here. Oftentimes, we're so busy in our demands and responsibilities in life. See if you agree with me. We get disconnected. Families get disconnected. Children get disconnected with the parents. Parents get disconnected from the children. Grandparents get disconnected from the grandchildren. Husbands and wives just get disconnected. And you know what family time does? It gets us reconnected. I'm going to say something. Now, I'm not against doing things together as a family. You need to do that. But I don't really call me personally. You may disagree with me. Quality time to me is not sitting in front of a television with your family. Now, you ought to do that, sure, but it's, and if you communicate and talk, well, that's one thing. But most of the time when you're watching something, and you ought to do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But oftentimes, watch this. We substitute quantity time for quality time. Somebody say amen. You know where I'm going with this. Quality time. Talking. Hey, the younger generation, you know what the younger generation is doing? And hey, they come to the table and they got text messages going on, Twitter and all the rest, and social media and emails. And man, they got a term now. You know what the term is? The term is text neck. Text neck. And they say this is becoming a big physical problem with a lot of people because they're walking around with their text. I've done it too. Somebody say amen. You've been there too, haven't you? Text neck. You're walking around, you're trying to get all your text messages and you you got to answer them. Oftentimes, for me at least, they're serious and they're some text neck. Hey, somebody said, children nowadays, don't punish them and send them to their room. In order to punish them, you got to send them to mom and daddy's room. Why? Because they got everything under the sun in their room. They got every game and gimmick and all that stuff. Send them to mom and daddy's room, for heaven's sake. No, I'm just saying this. Listen, young people, look at me. Look at Pastor just a moment. It's all right to be on the cutting edge of technology. Nothing wrong with that. You need to learn about computers. You need to learn that. But wait a minute. Look up here just a moment. Everybody, all y'all, you got to come apart sometime and talk, all right? Communicate. Talk. It's good. It needs to happen. You need to communicate. You need to talk. How many mamas and daddies love to talk with your children? You can't hardly talk with them. Come on, let me see your hand. It's a generation gap. And so I'm talking about help for the family, home, heaven in your home. We gotta make those things happen. And quality time. Oh, I know it's not easy. I'm there too. Time, use it or lose it. And then I gotta close. What about your work time, Jesus time, church time, family time, work time? How many of you work outside the home or work in your home? Raise your hand. All right, you got a busy schedule. You got to go to your work. You got a certain job to do. But guess what? I want to tell you something. Don't separate your relationship with Jesus on Sunday and think that Monday's a whole different thing. Rather, just what your relationship with the Lord, your job, I'm convinced if you prayed about your job and if you believe you're where God wants you to be, you can make your job, as I really believe it is, a mission field. How many believe that's your mission field? That's your mission field. Stop complaining and griping about what you do and where you're at. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I hear all reports all the time that how Christians are happy on Sunday and they can't hardly do any work on Monday. They look at the clock and they don't do the job and they're complaining and this, that, and the other. That's a bad testimony for Christian experience. It is. Do you work? Wait a minute. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, 23, and 24. Paul wrote and said, do you work heartily, not as unto men, but as unto the Lord? And so 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, whatever hours you're working, I owe, so off to work I go. Make the best of it. Make the best of it. Understand that God's got you there. That's a mission field. Be a blessing. Look at it as a blessing. Look at it like that's where God has you right now. Stop looking at the negative things. Stop complaining about this and that. Stop being a baby about it and grow up and just, as my wife tells me, put your big boy pants on, all right? Put your big girl pants on and make the best of it. Praise God. And God will use you for His glory. Amen. Last but not least, it's the end of time. I believe it's the end of time. Stand with me together. I don't have time to go into that, but I wonder if you stand together today.